Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Friday, July 12th, and here's what's driving the day. As the Democratic Party roils in crisis, President Joe Biden hosting a high-stakes news conference last night, eager to prove that he's up for four more years. The reviews are in. While it certainly started off rocky, Biden found a groove, and the presser wasn't nearly as bad as a lot of Democrats thought it would be. The question now is, does it stop the bleeding, and will it unify the party behind him? And joining me now to discuss all of this is our White House reporter, Maya Ward, who was actually in the room last night. Hey, Maya.
Hey there.
So this was obviously a huge moment for Biden. But before we get to last night, just walk us through the last few days leading up to this moment.
Just thinking about last Friday, where we were a week ago, you know, the ABC interview. And then over the weekend, there was just this like eerie silence from top voices in the party. And it felt like everyone was bracing for Monday and what was going to happen when lawmakers came back to the Hill. And I mean, it was clear that the White House was trying to get ahead of that. They had this huge week at NATO that they wanted to highlight. We had the president with his surprise appearance on Morning Joe and that letter to the Hill on Monday, just, you know, saying like he is not going to drop out of the race. And then on Tuesday, he has a strong speech to kick off NATO. You see the, you know, Congressional Black Caucus come out to support, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and it felt like a moment, it was somewhat quiet, and that maybe they were able to stop the bleeding, at least temporarily. And then on Wednesday, I was in the president's pool. He had another huge day at NATO. We see Pelosi go on MSNBC, you know, sidestep a question about his candidacy. There's George Clooney, calls for him to drop out. And it just felt like all hell broke loose. And then it's Thursday, and all day it just felt like this tension was building between the White House, you know, the president's closest advisors and other members of his team, and then as well as the Democratic Party. And then he has to go out there, you know, with all of this for this major press conference with all eyes watching for how he performs.
Yeah, I mean, talk about pressure, make or break there. You were in the room, obviously. How do you think it went for him?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty solid performance. I mean, he took questions for about an hour, which is way longer than you typically see the president out there for a news conference. He took questions from 10 reporters. He'd called on people from a list that he was holding, but then he answered one more question as reporters were shouting at him as he was exiting the stage. And I would say, you know, he was forceful and steady. He had some really strong and detailed answers on foreign policy questions, and it generally felt like he was pretty fired up. I will say there were a few gaffes. He called Kamala Harris Vice President Trump very early on. It was one of the first questions when he was asked if he had concerns about her ability to beat Trump. I mean, these gaffes aren't new for Biden, but, you know, when it's a moment like this and everyone's watching you for everything you say, how you sound, it wasn't the most ideal way to kick things off.
Yeah, no, but he rallied pretty quickly. And I got to say, I was shocked by how long he went, but also the depth of his knowledge on foreign policy. I mean, I can see why the White House decided to hold this press conference at the end of the NATO summit. I mean, foreign policy, it's clearly an issue he knows in and out, and he was able to speak with authority on it, and that certainly helps him. But, you know, there was a moment in the presser where Biden was asked why he won't step aside, essentially, for Kamala Harris. And it was like, I was sort of shocked by his answer. He basically said he's going to stay in the race until he's convinced he can't win. And then he like leaned in to the microphone and was very forceful, like almost like a dramatic whisper, and was like, "And no one has told me I can't win." And I'm like, "What?" What did you make of that moment?
It was really striking. It just reminds me of just this past week with these growing voices for him to step aside. You know, polls saying the majority of Americans want him to step aside. And he's saying, you know, "No one's telling me that I can't win this race." To me, that answer just speaks to that tension that we saw on full display yesterday, you know, this split between, you know, Biden's inner circle and other White House and campaign officials who are, you know, trying to figure out right now, how can they convince the president's closest advisors that he shouldn't stay in the race? And, you know, that group includes people like Jeff Zients, you know, counselor to the president, Steve Ricchetti, and his senior advisor, Nita Dunn, and Bruce Reed, Annie Tomasini, and others. And of course, Mike Donilon and Jen O'Malley Dillon on the campaign, you know, they've been meeting now twice a day to discuss the president's path forward. And so it was just interesting to see that split really emerging, you know, inside his campaign and inside his White House.
My reaction to that was actually that either he has very good selective amnesia, okay, or selective memory, I should say, or people are just not being honest with him. And I immediately had the thought about Democratic leaders on the Hill who publicly are sticking with Biden, yes, but privately convinced that, you know, he can't win and clearly trying to push him out. And I'm like, have any of them told him this? And if they haven't, what are they waiting for? But the answer was also interesting because he had said during his interview with George Stephanopoulos a week ago, basically only the Almighty could come down and tell me to step aside. And here in that answer, he articulated a very clear, intangible sort of bar that that if reached would mean he would step aside. And that is if people are saying that he can't win. And the thing is, everybody's saying that right now. It's just so bizarre that he's not hearing it.
I mean, I'm hearing the same thing you were, which is, you know, Democrats and lawmakers saying, is no one telling him this? Is his team not being honest with him about the state of the race, or is he in denial?
Yeah. Slash, they're also shielding him from, I know for a fact, some lawmakers who have tried to reach him personally to have personal words with him about this that can't get through. So how does the White House feel about how he did last night? And do we think it stops this sort of mutiny against him?
Yeah, I mean, White House aides, they think it went well for sure, you know, particularly those detailed answers on foreign policy that we've discussed. And, you know, going into this, like some of his closest allies, they saw this as his best chance of steadying Democratic nerves. But I think that's a big question, is how much does this actually matter? I mean, moments after the press conference, we saw Congressman Jim Hines say that Biden should step aside. And everyone today, I think, is bracing for more of that. We'll have Biden in Michigan again, you know, another campaign stop that everyone's going to be watching closely and scrutinizing the president's every move.
Yeah, I will say I was expecting more members to come out last night, but I mean, today's another day, and I think it's going to be really telling to see which members go on record. Maya, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
In other news, don't miss this week's episode of Playbook Deep Dive out this morning. My colleague Eugene Daniels sat down with Elaine Kmark. She's a longtime member of the DNC's Rules Committee, a scholar at Brookings, and a lecturer at Harvard's Kennedy School. They got into everything from how and when Joe Biden would go about dropping out, if his delegates can rebel against him if he doesn't, and what she thinks the public's reaction will be if the Democratic nominee for president is chosen by a handful of party leaders in a smoke-filled back room. Find that anywhere you get your podcasts. Meanwhile, the Senate is in and the House is out, and President Biden will travel to Detroit, Michigan for a campaign event. The music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Callan Tansel-Sudduth is our podcast producer. Annie Reese is our managing producer. Mike DeBonis and Zach Stanton are our editors. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.